And so now we're going to turn to Scripture this morning to another question. So through the summer season, we've been reading, looking at, thinking about, praying about questions that come to us from Scripture. In June, we listened to and attended to the questions that the Apostle Paul asked to the Corinthians. In these last 2 months, we have been, again, attending to questions that Jesus asked. Last Sunday, we heard the question, do you want to be made well? And this morning, Jesus asked, who touched me? So listen now to a story that comes to us from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. Now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Just then, there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house, for he had only one daughter, who was about 12 years old and who was dying. And as Jesus went on, the crowds pressed in on him. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind Jesus, and she touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me. When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been healed immediately. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the leader's house to say, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer. And when Jesus heard this, he replied, do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved. And when he came to the house, Jesus did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. And they were all weeping and wailing. But he said, do not weep, for she's not dead, but she's sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But Jesus took her by the hand and called out, child, get up. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And then he directed them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astounded. But he ordered them to tell no one about what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for this holy word, a holy healing word this morning. Open us to your power and to your way. Amen. A few weeks ago, I almost ended up as a character in the parable of the Good Samaritan and not the good character. I was on my way to work. I can't remember what I needed to do right off, but I am sure it was important, and I'm sure it was on my yellow legal pad waiting to be crossed out. As I was leaving my neighborhood, I noticed a young man balancing what appeared to be a very heavy bag on the front of his bike. I drove by. Seriously, I drove by. Then, having a guilty conscience, and by the grace of God, I stopped and turned around, rolled down my window, and asked if I could help. And in fact, I could help. I was able to take the bag in my trunk to its destination, and my neighbor, the biker, would meet the bag there. I literally almost became the first character in that Good Samaritan story. The priest who walked by and looked the other way. And why did I? Because I'm busy, right? Because I have a lot of things to do, and they're all good things. You know how I know? Because I write them down on my yellow legal pad. They're work things. I need to do them. I'm in ministry. You get that I'm being sarcastic on this. Why did I drive by and then literally, thank God, turn around? But why did I drive by? Because I don't like to be interrupted like that. I mean, I have a plan. This was in the morning. I had to get on with my day. But you know, as I know, life is really all about interruptions. What happens when you're on your way to doing something else? The great writer C.S. Lewis says this: "The great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life." The truth is, of course, what we call interruptions are precisely our real life, the life God is sending us day by day. Isn't that lovely? The interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending us day by day. What I noticed for the first time this week in the reading of this passage from Luke is that center part of the story, which is so linked to the story of the young girl and her illness and then being raised from the dead, but that center story about the hemorrhaging woman is really an interruption. It's really an interruption because the story begins with Jesus being summoned by a very important man, Jairus. It says he's a leader in the synagogue. He has this heartbreaking story. We see this respected man in the community, and we're told that he's fallen at Jesus' feet, and he is begging Jesus to come with him to heal his dying daughter. And so Jesus sets off, and he has life-saving, life-giving work to do. That's his call. That's what he's been asked to do. He's on his way. He's passing through the crowd, and Jesus is interrupted. He does not seek this woman out. At this point, he doesn't even know that she's ill, that she's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. He's on his way to something else, and he's touched. Not by the jostle of the crowd kind of touch, but a touch that causes him to ask, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Peter's response to the question is basically, "We're in a crowd, Jesus, it could have been anyone." But Jesus says, no, this was a different kind of touch. "Someone touched me, for I noticed power has gone out from me." And now we hear that the woman finally comes forward, but the person we don't hear from is Jairus, right? Can you imagine this man? He's trying to get Jesus, "Go faster, hurry, we've got to get there. We've got to get there, Jesus." And that woman, she interrupts Jesus' life and his mission. And Jairus must be anxious. He must want Jesus to push aside this interruption. But Jesus could not do this because he was driven by God's leading, not a checklist of needs of either his or others. Jesus could do this because he lived in oneness with God, right? God incarnate, fully human, fully divine. He lived in constant conversation with the one he called Father, who called him to not just love God the Father, but to love his neighbor as himself. Jesus was the incarnation of that first commandment, of the greatest commandment that we read in Matthew 22, when Jesus is asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" That was kind of a tricky question, but Jesus knew the answer. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus, full self, human and divine, allowed him to see and know interruptions as real life. Interruptions as what God is calling us into and out of. The life God is sending us day by day. It allowed Jesus to pause, not stop, right? It didn't cause Jesus to stop on his journey. It didn't cause Jesus to not do what he told Jairus that he would do. But it caused Jesus to address the situation that was directly in front of him. So if our desire is to look more like Jesus, is it possible that we could look at what we think of as interruptions in our life as what God is sending us as clues as to what we are to be doing in our lives of ministry and faithful caring for one another? This hard and holy work. So if we're going to be like Jesus, the first thing is we have to stay connected to God. And I've been recommending over the summer, and I imagine many of you, maybe all of you, kids and grown-ups do this in some way or the other, is to pray every single morning. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be like Jesus' prayer, kingdom on earth, God. That simple prayer of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. Forgive us. Give me work to do this day. Connected with God at the beginning of the day. And then to stay connected to one another. Because you see this story, we don't hear much about the disciples, but we know that they were with Jesus. Because it was Peter who spoke. So rooted in prayer, connected with one another, helps us create a disposition as individuals in a church to move forward with our call and to be open to interruptions that are our life. Haiti, you know, facing now another devastating earthquake. I was reminded of the 2010 earthquake. Hundreds of thousands of people killed. It came, for those of us living in North America, it came out of nowhere. I remember the story well because at that time, the head of our United Methodist Committee on Relief, Sam Dixon, was in Haiti for a meeting about how to improve medical services in Haiti. Reverend Dixon was trapped and later died in a hotel that collapsed during the earthquake. I remember this time well because I was working with our Imagine No Malaria initiative, which you are all in Stone Church and our whole conference were actively involved in. And we had made plans that fall of 2009 that once the new year came, 2010, we were going to launch a big initiative in our conference and in parts of our denomination, a big fundraising campaign to address malaria. But it became obvious then, on January 12th, with the news about Haiti, that there was another need that we were going to have to look at, that we were going to have to address immediately. It could not be put on hold. And so we adjusted and we changed. And over the course of that, those first 6 months, I believe the United Methodist Committee on Relief raised something like $40 million for Haiti relief. And also, as we continued to work on it, and in it over those next years, we also raised $75 million to address malaria. Huh. We had to pause because there was a serious interruption to our plan. It didn't mean that we didn't keep doing what was vitally needed, but it meant we had to address the immediate. Now, this is a big story about a big world issue. I think this happens, and I look out at all of you here and know that you are at home. You know this about your everyday life as well. You have an ill child. I still remember, you know, my youngest son is almost 31. And I still remember how quickly plans change when you have a little person who wakes up sick in the night. You have a parent. You have a spouse, a friend. There's someone that you rely on or they rely on you and there's a fall. And suddenly those plans that you have made are changed. They're redirected. It may seem like an interruption, but it's what God is giving you and me to do. Every single day, God breaks into our lives with our life, right? You hear of a need in the church or an organization you're part of or the community. It wasn't what you were planning on doing, but you feel the tug. You feel the nudge. You feel the touch. Jesus, is this what we're called to do right now? Maybe you, like me, were on your way to work or your day with a purpose and a plan. And by the side of the road, literally or figuratively, something catches your eye and your life is interrupted, maybe for a moment or maybe for longer. But as retreat leader and writer Paula D'Arcy says, God comes to us disguised as our life. What we are given in this day to take care of is our ministry. And when I say ministry, I don't mean like ordained ministry. I mean our care, how we're looking like Jesus in the world. If we've been touched, by another, by a need, that is our work for this day. Never, never, never underestimate the power that you have as individuals and that we have as a church to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. So remember in this story, and we didn't look at the other story this morning about the child raised to life, but remember in this story that Jesus was not ultimately derailed from his mission. He did not let Jairus down. He did not abandon the child while caring for the woman. So to be like Jesus this day, let's trust that God is at work in us and through us, that maybe we'll look more like Jesus today and this week. Maybe you and I will ask, who touched me? And someone else will answer. Amen.